The 2022 World Cup here in Qatar has been one of many firsts. The first in the Middle East. The first in December. The first to allow fans to attend multiple games in a day. However, the tournament has been unprecedented in another way as well. Ever since it was awarded to Qatar in 2010, it's been the first mega sporting event to elicit media coverage that has been as much about politics as it has been about the games.
Most of the global reaction really focused less on the selling point of this being a World Cup for the region and a moment of arrival and emergence for Qatar specifically, and seeing it much more as a way to scrutinize many of the internal practices and policies governing everything from migrant labor to many cultural issues, and the kind of so-called clash of values between kind of Western countries that have been very protective over global football in the World Cup in particular as kind of their own right, their own domain.
We all know that mega sporting events or any of these kinds of global events that draw the entire world's attention have both positive and negatives. The positive, of course, is to gain recognition, to perhaps get on people's radar. But it's also the time where, you know, everything is on view. You're seeing warts and all. And so Qatar has had 12 years of that.
12 years of negative headlines questioning Qatar's suitability as a host of this World Cup. Be it for allegations of corruption in the bidding process or over matters relating to the treatment of migrant workers and LGBT issues. Sam Cunningham is one of thousands of journalists who travel to Doha to cover this tournament.
Now, you are out here to cover the football, but this tournament has obviously been about so much more than that. How challenging has it been as a sports journalist to navigate the politics whilst trying to cover the game?
The role of a sports journalist has definitely changed. Just because sport, and football in particular, has got so big in the world, it's completely caught up in global politics and domestic politics. I definitely think a lot of sports journalists now will see that if there are off-field issues that are arising, that it's their duty to report on them.
Doha has responded to the critiques with some labour policy changes, and before the World Cup started announced that, quote, everyone was welcome.
I believe a lot of the criticism is unjust.
Qatari officials have also taken issue with the relentlessness of the coverage, pointing out, not entirely without justification, that some of it was sensationalist, reductive, at times even orientalist.
When we look at Western media coverage of Qatar, it runs from the hysterical in the British tabloids to the serious in, say, the New York Times. And indeed, there are stories that have gotten a lot of traction that have just been lazy reporting by people who aren't actually in Qatar. If I wanted to single out one example above all, it would be the February 2021 article that The Guardian published saying that 6,500 workers had been killed in Qatar since the bid was won in 2010 and suggesting that these were all tied to stadium construction. In fact, the deaths tied to stadium construction were about 1% of that number. And also what they missed is the obvious, which is that in a population of 1.4 million immigrants over 12 years, 6,500 deaths is actually low. And it's about the same for a country like Germany or the UK. Nonetheless, that number, that 6,500 number, gets repeated all the time.
The things that I have found most problematic is that there has been a continuous focusing on a background narrative about this region, Qatar, as this exceptional Arab country which has its own peculiar, somewhat mysterious, and socially and culturally distinct forms of dealing with workers, as opposed to the fact that it replicates many other temporary labor migration regimes in other global contexts. This is not to say that, oh, it's happening elsewhere, so it's okay that it happens in Qatar. Not at all. Temporary labor migrants are exploited, exploitable, and vulnerable in whichever context they work in, right? But there has been a civilizational tone in some of how these stories have, you know, been developed.
I definitely disagree with that. For a start, we're not saying there's not issues back home. In fact, there's plenty of issues back home, and these are raised all the time. So I definitely disagree that there's any kind of like element of we're just, you know, Western journalists are coming over here and just finding trouble and issues where there aren't. These are legitimate issues. It's only right that people report on them.
I guess part of the criticism, though, is that we've had, you know, tournaments hosted by Russia, Olympic Games in China. Why haven't we seen this kind of rigorous coverage of some of these issues before, be it in Russia, be it in China, etc.?
I definitely think there has been an acceptance that Russia wasn't reported on as thoroughly as it should have been, and I hold my hands up for that myself. I was out there covering it, and you know, with more writing about this is how great the tournament was, and then a couple of years later, Vladimir Putin started a war in Europe. So we kind of saw how, you know, what happened after what is essentially a big PR exercise for Russia.
And you still have a kind of a mainstream sort of media machine that has kind of treated this situation quite exceptionally and in ways that we won't necessarily, unfortunately, see in the coverage of future tournaments or in the coverage of past tournaments. And that includes countries like Russia and China, but also like the US and the UK in terms of, you know, the legacy of the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. So there are clearly blind spots that I think exist within many segments of the media, unfortunately. And again, just to make this absolutely clear, the point here isn't to say that because those things are not talked about, then Qatar should be given a free pass. I actually would say the opposite, that let's apply these things everywhere, including to Qatar as well.
A competition that began in a blaze of hypocritical sanctimony has become what it always should have been, a feast of great football.
The inconsistency in reporting has led to some in the Western media to call out their own.
Qatar is also a significant investor in many aspects of UK life. For example, it gives us 25% of our gas. Would all the virtue signalers back home prefer we tell Qatar to stop sending its gas?
Amidst all of the news media reporting on this World Cup, there have been journalists working with this news network, Al Jazeera, headquartered here in Qatar. For media observers, Al Jazeera and its output through the tournament has been worth a close watch.
There's been so much analysis as to why Qatar established Al Jazeera in the first place. And I think, you know, some of those suggest that the main motivation is playing more regional role, international role, gaining recognition for fields beyond hydrocarbons, beyond gas. And then, of course, the challenge, because once, you know, you produce something like a global media enterprise on your territory, you know, you look into the abyss looks into you. So no media organization based in Qatar could be completely legitimate if it didn't also focus attention on the domestic sphere.
This news network basically meant to undercut the kind of hegemonic narrative coming from state medias everywhere, and instead for the first time offering a perspective that is much more representative of the kind of the everyday experience of Arab populations throughout this region. So fast forwarding now to the question of how, you know, it's played a role in the World Cup. I mean, I think, you know, part of it, of course, is trying to respond to many of these pressures that Qatar has come under.
Nasser, what's your message for the fans who are still debating whether they're coming to the country or not?
My message to the fans is you are welcome here.
I think the coverage within the network has tried to kind of toe a very delicate line. I think there have been kind of some sensitivities, in part because I think, you know, the state has taken a very defensive posture given the kinds of attacks that it's been under, and not wanting to see its own network contributing to that. And so I think, you know, there have been openings or opportunities to explore some of these issues in more nuance, perhaps.
International sporting events have always been an opportunity for nation branding. Qatar is trying hard to shape how it will be remembered once the games come to an end on December 18th. Western media certainly haven't helped Qatar's case. Whether they will stay on this story once the final whistle blows remains to be seen.
Scholars who study this stuff know that with sport and mega events, there is a long period before the tournament starts, which is incessantly negative. Then after the tournament is over, everybody goes home and we forget the whole thing. So the other question is, will this discussion about human rights in sports continue or simply be forgotten until the next sport mega event?